Welcome to the Tool Shed, the greatest Robert Morris basketball show in the known universe. I'm Logan Cartier, as always, with Luke Yost and Matt Kurtick. Your three faces for Robert Morris basketball, outside of the guys that play for the team, you know, usual. And maybe Romo. Maybe Romo, too. We'll put
He's before us. It's all right.
But nonetheless, Romo doesn't have a podcast, and we do.
We can't talk, so he loves his podcast.
Well, I've heard him talk
before. He's mute.
Yeah.
All right, we're just going to jump right into this. We got a show, a great show tonight. We got a guest coming on. Our first guest of the year, it's going to be a coach from Drexel who played Robert Morris this year. Also happens to be my cousin. That's how we got him on the show.
Yeah,
but
yeah. He wouldn't come on if it wasn't your cousin.
But we got a guest coming on, our first guest. Unfortunately, it's not Andy Toole, but this one will be just as great, if not better.
One day.
He'll be coming on in just a couple minutes. And we're just going to start off by breaking down at least the first of the two games. Maybe we'll get into the Wagner game afterwards, because the Wagner game is a big game. And Matt, I know you really want to talk about that one. But we'll talk about the one that they did win this week. The team went 1-1 this past week. The first win of the game was against Sacred Heart. Now, Matt, initial reaction from the Sacred Heart game. Now, Sacred Heart, not a good team. They only beat by 8 in the game.
Yeah.
So what's your initial reaction from that one?
It was a scary game to watch, honestly. Going into halftime, we're tied at 26, and it didn't look too good for us. So we weren't really making our shots, and we weren't playing the best defense. And by the looks at half, it wasn't looking like a game that we could come out here and win. It didn't look like we're trying as hard as I know that we can. So that one was a little puzzling to watch.
It was the perfect time for a trap game if Sacred Heart wanted to play that role, because you're coming off a loss to Wagner, and then you're going to play Wagner the following game after this one. If they wanted to have a trap game, this would have been it for Sacred Heart.
Yeah, you're right.
It's that right time, kind of in limbo.
Now, they did win, and we were acting like it was, you know, a bad win, but is there really a such thing as a bad win?
I think so. I think that there is a bad win, because this one showed that there was no sort of organization to how this team plays the game. You would think that the second-to-worst team in the conference, we should go in and beat them down, and I really thought that we should. We did that whenever we went and played there, but we came out and shot 22% from 3, you know, 5 for 22, and I see a couple players... couple players that, you know, aren't looking too good when they're shooting. So that one was pretty puzzling.
I don't agree with you. I think a win's a win. No matter how dirty it is, no matter how bad it looks.
Well, in the grand
scheme
of
it still goes in the W column.
It does.
So I'll take it.
Some make you feel a little bit better than others. And that one was not a feel good game by any means.
That was a scrappy one.
Yeah.
All right. And while you guys continue to break down, we're going to try and get our guests on the phone here, but you know, what stood out from you from this weekend? We'll start with the Sacred Heart game. You know, the team offensively did play better in certain areas. LeAndre Washington has been huge, huge lately.
No doubt.
But what is from his performance this weekend? What is really, I mean, he had 20 points against Wagner. He had another 10-digit game against Sacred Heart. How big has he been down the stretch, and how big do you think he's going to be down the stretch, Matt?
You know, he's really stood out to me in the last couple of games. Just his ability to take over whenever he's in the game. I mean, only 11 points against Sacred Heart, but that was, you know, second in our team in terms of points. And watching the Wagner game with Deshaun was in foul trouble and didn't really play too many minutes. He only played 20 minutes in that game. We saw LeAndre Washington get 20 points in that second game against Wagner. So that's always really good to see, seeing your young freshman go 5 for 7 from behind the arc.
Yeah, I think they used him effectively here because, you know, the games that he's played, you know, he really hasn't been that sixth man. In this game, they allowed him to do that, and he really showed up and showed out.
All right, sorry to stop you there, Luke, but joining us in the studio now, or at least by phone, is the Drexel assistant coach, Justin. Justin, how are you tonight? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. We're just trying to turn you up. We have a little audio trouble, but Justin, lost him. We're having some trouble here. We don't get much very good connection in the studio.
We don't.
So we're going to try again, but as you can hear him ringing in the background. But for those of you who don't know, Justin, he's coached at Army, Drexel. They played Robert Morris this year. Well, at Army, him and the coaching staff, Coach Spiker, which is now the head coach at Drexel, and that's why he's there. They went to the first ever postseason appearance since 1978 for Army, a school that has historically not been that great as far as, you know, basketball goes.
I don't even
football
think people know that they actually play basketball, so that's a surprising
like
one.
The Army thing that matters is Army versus Navy.
Yeah, and football. Yeah, I don't think really too many people know about Army basketball. What conference are they in?
Do you think they're in the Mountain West.
Why would they be in the Mountain West? They're in New York.
I don't know.
Patriot.
And the Patriot.
Patriot. They're in a Patriot.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
You know, you dribble and you shoot over for the best sometimes.
So, Matt, why don't you tell us your thoughts from this weekend while we try and sort out these connection issues?
They were rough. These games, like I said, I mean, a win's a win, obviously, Luke. But even the game that we won didn't look too hot. So that was a little bit disappointing to see because I was really expecting us to come out firing against Sacred Heart. But it's the NEC. It's going to be tough to win games no matter how good or bad the team you're playing is. So it's still nice to go in and get the win no matter what. It's always nice to get that win at home. But that Wagner game was really disappointing. We went in, what was it, a 10-point? Yeah, we were up 42-32 at the half against Wagner. And you're looking in like, oh, man, we're going to be number one seed in the NEC if we win this game. And, you know, to watch them fall and get outscored 45-22 in the second half. 45-22.
It's hard to win games though if you just look at the guys like some of the players from Wagner. JoJo Cooper had 17, a little farther in the line. Blake Francis had 21. Shaq Scott had 10.
Hold on, I think we got him here. Is it Justin? You there?
Let's see.
Justin, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, looks like we got him. We got him on.
Sorry about the technical difficulties there.
Oh, that's fine. We finally got you on through the studio phone, too. Even better. Now, Justin, we have a couple questions for you. Matt, why don't you go ahead and ask your first one?
All right. Hey, Justin, I know you guys played RMU earlier this year. What kind of adjustments did your team have to make going into that game? Like, what players on our team, what system kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, playing an Andy Toole coach team, you know you're going to get a toughness aspect coming at you. We were really worried about our guys handling the ball against their pressure. And not just from a full-court press standpoint, but, you know, when you bring it over half, they really get into your legs and make it really hard to run your stuff. And I think that's something we failed to do. They had some early runouts in transition due to us not being strong with the ball. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you look at their numbers for the year, they're one of the best teams in turnover percentage. I think they're eighth in the country in turnover percentage. So that was something we were worried about and something that makes them very successful.
Awesome. Thank you.
My question, hi. My name is Luke. My question is, I tend to get overshadowed sometimes, so I feel like I introduced myself. My question is, how did you go from Penn State Barron to coaching at Army?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of connections. You know, obviously I was fortunate enough to play for a great coach at Penn State Barron and Dave Nyland, and had a nice 4-year career there for him. And fortunately I knew I wanted to get into the coaching profession and, I saw he, you know, with his connections were able to set me up with some opportunities to work some different camps and meet some different people. You know, Coach Nyland is the cousin of John Beilein. And he was the head coach at Michigan. And at the time, he was the head coach at West Virginia. And at that point, I was able to work their camp and meet my current boss now, Zach Spiker. And that's kind of just the way it works in this profession. It's all about connections and who you know. You know, after I left Penn State Barron, I was able to work at Carnegie Mellon and get some national recruiting experience under my belt. And I think having that experience allowed me to, and knowing Coach Spiker allowed me to get the opportunity at West Point. You know, something I love doing there.
You know, Justin, we talked about in the interview that I did with you early in December, which is going to be coming up later this month, or a little bit early into February, somewhere around then, that this podcast will be attached to. And you talked about, you know, Army and just the difficulty it is recruiting there. And because it is a military school, an academy, what type of guys do you guys look at whenever you recruit them?
Yeah, believe it or not, you know, most of the guys we get never really dreamed of being in the Army or becoming an officer for the United States Military Academy. You know, we knew that, you know, for us to be successful, we had to recruit good players. And, you know, we had to recruit nationwide. But, you know, we never looked at it as a disadvantage having to recruit and to guys that had to have a five-year commitment afterwards. We tried to sell it the other way and said, you get an opportunity to do something special and be a part of something special. So, you know, when you graduate from United States Military Academy, you're set up for life. You know, you have obviously a wonderful first-class degree. You get to have a job right out of college, making between $70,000 and $80,000 at the age of 22. And, you know, you get to work for the United States Army for 5 years, and I think that's something very special. So we try to sell it that way. We had to get to mentality, not have to, and I think our guys embraced that, and that's why we got good players, and that's why we're able to be successful.
No, I just have one more question. At Robert Morris, we start a lot of freshmen. Our team is basically comprised of young guys. Coming from just as a coach, how important is it to have older players on your team? That's something that we lack. And what, like, how important is that to like a team that wants to make it to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, no doubt. I think all coaches in the country right now, you know, we always say we hate freshmen. We can't wait till they – that become sophomores. But I think that's a credit to what Coach Toole has done with this young group to be as successful as they have been with so many young guys. Obviously, you want continuity. You want guys that speak the language that coaches speak. You want them to have gone through shared experiences both on and off the court, but late game situation, getting through the rigors of, you know, a tough conference schedule, realizing that conference games, no matter what the record is going to be a tough game. So, you know, obviously anytime you have experience, you're going to be better. But sometimes when you have freshmen, they don't know any better. And sometimes that can be a blessing as well.
All right, thank you.
I have another question. How do you keep guys, because like at Robert Morris, there's a history of playing 2 or 3 years here and then leaving for another school. So how do you keep guys as freshmen to the senior, to like all the way for 4 years? How does that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, it's one of the more difficult situations that you know, our college basketball is in right now in the transfer rate. I think, you know, you see it a lot. I mean, obviously you guys have seen it there, and it's been three probably consecutive years where you've lost really good players that have, you know, gone to from the mid-major level to the high-major level. And it makes it tough, and it's a shame for, you know, the coaches like Coach Toole and his staff that find these players, recruit these young guys and see something in them that, you know, the high-majors don't, and then groom them and make them better, and then to have somebody, you know, high-major or something like that swoop in and recruit them. But it's the way the game has become. It's the way, you know, college basketball landscape has become, and it could be getting even worse as we move forward here. Where they, obviously, there's been talk of getting rid of the one-year sit-out rule if you're at a certain GPA, and that's something that's on the forefront being pushed forward, and you know, something we all need to be aware of. So we try not to focus on it. We try to just create as good an atmosphere as we can. Obviously, things are going to happen. People are going to leave. But we need to control what we can control. Let's coach the guys we have. Let's figure it out every year. Let's get them a good experience. Hopefully we'll win some games and they're in a good situation. And at the end of the year, you know, both guys evaluate where things are at. But we feel like if we put the best atmosphere possible forward, that, you know, we hope guys will stay and want to be a part of something special.
Now, Justin, the last question here before we send you off. Once again, thank you for joining us tonight as first guest on the show. You know, you got to, unfortunately, you guys lost at Pittsburgh, but just what was it like to being able to play against, you know, Robert Morris, but more importantly, playing in your home city in front of your family and really just in the, one of the, you know, an arena that with, you know, a big arena like PPG Paints and that whole atmosphere and everything about it?
Yeah, definitely awesome experience. I wouldn't recommend coming in and playing against a good team like Rob Morris and having put a licking on you. But kind of ruins the coming home party, if you will. But it was really exciting to play in an arena like that, you know, against a great team like Rob Morris. We know we're a program that's trying to build. We took over last year, and we're trying to build into something special. So we know we're going to have ups and downs, and, you know, that was one of the downs throughout the year. But, you know, it was an exciting atmosphere. I think our guys really enjoyed playing in an arena like that. And the way we saw it through our guys was, you know, in March this year, there's going to be a game in that arena, you know, in the NCAA tournament. So we try to get that mindset going in. You know, moving forward, and I think that's it was just a great atmosphere, not only for me but for the guys on the team.
And lastly, I lied to you. One more question: who do you think is going to win the NCAA tournament? Who's your pick?
You know, being from Philly now, being a Philly guy, you know, we had the opportunity to have an exhibition game against Villanova earlier in the year, and they may not be the most talented team, but I think they're the best team. You watch them work, and it just starts in warm-ups and how connected they are. I think they have great guard play. They got a veteran point guard in Jalen Brunson, and that's what matters in March. So my pick would be with them and Jay Wright and the Wildcats. That's who I'm sticking with right now as we sit here in the last couple of days of January.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us again, Justin. Say hi to Holly and all them for me.
I'll do that, man.
Have a good night and good luck on the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right, you two guys, and love what you guys are doing.
All right, thanks, man. See ya.
No problem.
All right, and that was Justin Jennings, my cousin and coach at Drexel. And, you know, they've had a little bit of disappointment here, but they're building a program, and they'll play Robert Morris again next year, actually. But this time it'll be in Philly. But moving on, we heard from him. And if you wanted to hear more from him, his interview will be posted on Army Century Media later this early February, really about the last week or so. And the whole question and answer will go up on Berg Nation with a link to that found on the Army Century Media page. But, of course, right now you're listening to Robert Morris Radio, your campus, your voice. And once again, this is the Tool Shed with us three. And we talked a little bit about the Sacred Heart game, but we're going to get into the game that we've been dreading to talk about. I know Matt has been pretty angry about what happened or upset.
Fuming.
I've been pretty upset about it.
So Robert Morris took on Wagner this past weekend. And for those of you who don't know, Wagner and Robert Morris going into that game were tied for the NEC with Wagner holding the one-game tiebreaker. So whoever won that game would have control over the NEC for the rest of the year. Well, the final score of that game, after an amazing first half by Robert Morris, in which they shot 60% from the three-point line, and they ended up shooting, was it 20% in the second half?
30.7%.
30.7% from threes or overall?
From 3 point.
From 3 point. So yeah. I remember they shot under 20% in the second half overall.
Yeah, 18.8% overall.
Yeah, and they ended up losing 77-64. Wow. So, Matt, as you just said, wow, into the microphone, really cannot believe what happened. What are your initial reactions from the game?
That first half was awesome. They made 8 for 13, over 60% from 3, you know, 61.5%. So that was really something special. And, watching it with, you know, the people I was with, you know, that wasn't going to last. You can't shoot 61% from behind the three-point line the entire game. So you know that's not going to happen, but to see them shoot under 20% from the field, not even from three in the second half, that was just...
They shot better from three in the second half than they did from the field.
It was embarrassing, honestly. It was so hard to watch. I was waiting for the game to be over because it was just sad. Honestly, 9 turnovers in the second half with 18%.
Justin talked about having a young team and how that can be a blessing. At the same time, this is the game that it's going to show you. This is, you know, having a young team may not always be a good thing because you're right. You will have games that the first half, you'll go in there and you'll light it up. Everything you throw up there is going to go in. And then the second half, you're going to see that, you know, it's not going to go in. There's a kind of a little on the basket. You got to learn how to compete and still You know, put yourself in a position to win maybe late in the game, or, you know, maybe a buzzer beater to win it all. See what happens.
I really liked how Justin pointed out, which I hadn't really thought about, was our turnover margin. How many turnovers we force a game, which is really cool because we have forced almost 17 a game this year. And it's a plus 2.7 margin, which is really cool. But then if you look at assist to turnover, we don't really assist too much. Our assist to turnover rate is 0.8. And you think that it would be really high since our margin's so high. So I thought that was really weird.
Especially, you know, Andy told teams usually, you know, great on the fundamentals and stuff.
Athletically, this is a good athletic team.
Yeah, but they've also had one of their better offenses this year. You know, earlier in the, I think it was last episode, when they were coming in and they scored four, they had four games where they scored 80 points, which was the second time that they've done that in the school's history. And they haven't done that since the 90s. So this is one of the better offensive teams they are. But, you know, you look at these three-point numbers, and you have to wonder, Matt, does the three-point shooting worry you? Do you think that their three-point shooting is not as good as what we thought it was?
I don't think it's as good as we thought it was. I just wrote something about it the other day, that we're shooting 31% from three, which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
You should try to shoot. 3-point, you should try 40%. To be above 30. About 38's reasonable number. That's what Duke shoots this year, and Duke's a good team. And that's what RMU shot when we went to the tournament in 2014-15. So we aren't shooting well. We talk about it because it just seems like we make a lot, but we shoot a lot this year. We have shot more, almost as many threes this year as we did 2 years ago the entire season.
They've done a lot better at generating shots, open shots, but they haven't been falling as much. And they've taken, you know, you saw it in the game, I think back to the St. Francis game towards the end, where they were just shooting up threes because they were worried that they couldn't come back when they were down, you know, by two scores.
Yeah.
So they were just firing up threes at the end. They're a team that panicked a little bit. And that has to do with the young team.
That's,
you know,
the youthfulness.
Justin talked about it with his team. Toll's been talking about it for a long time in the press conferences. If anybody, I know Matt, Luke, I don't know if you had the chance to cover a basketball game.
Yeah, I did the Rider game.
Yeah, but that's something that Toll preaches a lot, is the youth of this team. And they have a really young team, 11 new players. They're two of their, one of their best players, Kobe Thomas, is a freshman. LeAndre Washington, freshman. Deshaun Burks, one of their better players.
He's only a sophomore.
Matty McConnell's the only senior on the team.
Matty McConnell's the JT Barrett of Robert Morris basketball. He's just been there forever.
He will be here forever. He will never leave the school.
You know, Matt, you did have an interesting point, an interesting article I had the chance to read. Luke, I don't know if you had the chance to read it, but he basically break down the season grades for the team, and really a lot of numbers that I never would have thought of. So we'll just go around the table. Matt, since you posted an article about it, why don't you start first? Season grade for Robert Morris basketball. Why don't you tell everyone what it is? Because I'm sure they already read the article, and you know it's a really great article. So why don't you tell everyone what you think their season grades are and why?
I was a little rough on them, honestly. I gave them a B, which is kind of unfair because
they're still good.
They were they were not projected high. They were projected 7th in the NEC, which is pretty low. There's only 10 teams, so 7th is pretty low, and so they are playing really well in terms of expectations. They're an A, honestly, but in right now, I'm done looking at what our expectations were. So I'm giving them a B because I know that they can play a lot better than they have the last couple
of
games.
So you don't raise it because you're not grading them because your expectations have raised. After you saw them play at the beginning, you know, how they have done so far through conference play, your expectations of them have gone up a lot.
Yeah, because we can beat these teams that we're losing to because we're making a lot of mistakes. We're shooting 18% from the field. That's bad at any, you know, sort
any
of
level,
aspect.
Yeah.
So it changed throughout the year. And I think that's kind of how it goes. You know, we were not projected to do well, but I don't think that whoever was doing that expected, you know, such an impact season by John Williams and LeAndre Washington and Kobe Thomas and players
like
that.
Yeah, the freshmen have really stepped up.
Luke, what's your grade?
My grade, a little better than Matt's. I'll give him an A-. It's not a complete loss. They're still second in the NEC. It's not like, and there's still a good bit of conference to go.
Well, counter to your point, in order to win the NEC and get home court throughout the entire NEC
Wagner
playoffs,
have to lose.
Wagner has to lose two more games than Robert Morris does, because Wagner has the tiebreaker and they're up a game in conference. and Robert Morris. So Robert Morris basically has to go undefeated for the rest of the way. Which and have possible. Wagner to lose two games to two other opponents that aren't Robert Morris.
Yeah, and we don't want to play at Wagner because they're 10-0 this year.
Yeah, they're undefeated at home. That is not a place you want to play. But Luke, can continue with what you're saying. You said A-.
It's possible. Like, you don't have to – the great thing about college basketball is that each conference has a tournament at the end of the year. And – you never know. Maybe some team can knock off Wagner before Robert Morris gets to him.
That's a good point.
So, you know, once the NEC tournament comes rolling around, you know, Wagner might be at home and get knocked off by, you know, Mount St. Mary's.
But do you want to face the team that knocked off Wagner when you can't knock off Wagner?
You never know. Yeah, I'd rather face the team that knocked off Wagner. Like, obviously.
Do you want to face the Titans if the Patriots lose to them in the playoffs? You know? Yes. Yes, you want to play them.
But it's the thing. The Patriots didn't lose to them in the playoffs.
And we lost to the Jaguars.
as for me, I mean, you know, I'm just going to give them an A. I agree. I'm not going to give them an A plus because if they had an A plus, they would be first in conference right now. That is perfect. But an A, it's still, you know, that's close as perfect as you can be because the expectations of this team were low.
Yeah.
Very, very low. I mean, I had higher expectations of them than most people, but I also had higher expectations of the football team, and they only won two games this year.
That's a small miracle.
But
right.
ESPN had them outside the top 300 teams in college basketball overall.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't, and they had them finishing last in the NEC. So they did not have high expectations. And you're not going to have high expectations when you have 11 new players coming in, especially when you're at a small school like Robert Morris and some of your best players just transferred out.
Yeah.
So that's why I have them in an A. And 7-2 in conference is still phenomenal.
It's respectable. It's
8-2, sorry. 8-2 in conference is still seven and three. I was looking at Wagner's numbers. 7-3 in conference is still phenomenal. You're only technically one game out, but realistically you're two games out at first. You can still easily get the two seed. You know, because St. Francis, who beat you, is falling off. What, they're 6-4 now?
6-4.
Yeah. They had one loss whenever they took on Robert Morris, and they gave Robert Morris the first loss. They've fallen off. St. Francis, Brooklyn has played phenomenally better. They still got Mount St. Mary's to worry about, but
yeah, there's three teams right now sitting 6-4. St. Francis, you, Mount St. Mary's, St. Francis, Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, this is a team. This is Robert Morris. I mean, you look at these numbers. You know, they're middle of the pack. We talked about how their offense has gotten better. They're seventh in the conference in offense. But they still generate 70.6 points per game. You know, a lot of that is because when they face these tough teams, they struggle to score. But you look at this defense, they're second. And we talked about a lot how their defense needs to improve. Their defense is second in the conference behind Wagner. Wagner, unfortunately, is third in offense and first in defense in the conference in terms of scoring-wise. But this Robert Morris team is a very, very good team. They're young, you know. I think some of them are going to be around a little bit longer than we're expecting. Burke may be gone, maybe transfer out. As far as Kobe Thomas, I think Kobe Thomas stays one more year, especially since he's struggled a lot shooting lately. He's going to have to stay one more year if he wants to get to a better school year.
Looking at the last two games, I'm thinking more of that, too.
Yeah,
He's been
struggling. Alonzo Washington's going to be the leader of the team. He's going to stay one more year. McConnell, obviously, is a senior.
McConnell's
not leaving. Graduating, so he's obviously, you know, a senior.
He's only a junior.
He's only a junior.
He's only a junior.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, he's been here forever.
The host of the show doesn't even know what it is.
He will be here next year.
He feels like a senior.
He does. He does have
So they got McConnell coming back. I mean, they have a great team that's going to be back next year. You know, next year, outlook of this team, they should be predicted to win the NFC. I don't think there's any reason to not have them.
Oh, no. With Maddie as a senior, you know, take Burke out of the question. LeAndre's going to grow up a little bit, hopefully. Kobe's going to mature. You're going to have a good team next year if at least three of them stay.
I agree.
All right, guys. Before we go, we're going to run a little bit over schedule today, but we're just going to preview this game's weeks, this weekend's games. And, you know, the first game of the week they got is against Mount St. Mary's.
Yep.
Mount St. Mary's coming off an 86-72 win over St. Francis Brooklyn, a very, very good team. Mount St. Mary's is also a very, very good team, too.
Made the tournament last year,
won the NEC last year, and this is – the team that, you know, this is one of those teams that Robert Morris needs to beat. They haven't beaten one of the top teams in the conference yet. All the games that they've won are easy. They're 0-3 against St. Francis and Wagner. They haven't faced Mount St. Mary's yet. Matt, how important is this game? What are your thoughts on it, and who do you think is going to win?
This game's extremely important because we keep talking about Wagner and St. Francis, but Mount St. Mary's is tied with St. Francis for third place at 6-4. They're only one game away from us. And Mount St. Mary's can score some points. They have, I would say, the best player in the NEC. Junior Robinson averages 22 points a game, and guess what? He's 5'5".
He's 5'5".
He is 5'5".
That's an inspiration.
The man is short, and he also is second in the conference in assists. So yeah. he's over 5 assists a game. So he is an impact player. And we have young guards, and he's a senior player, so I think trying to match up with him and try to limit him to score less than 20 points will be the key to us winning. So I think we still win this game because I think we are the better team, in my opinion. So I'm not too worried about that, but I'm worried about him, Junior Robinson, in specific, because I think that he has the potential to put up a lot of points.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, just to recap, who do you have winning the game?
I have us winning. Yeah.
You have Rob Morris winning?
I think we can win that game.
Score prediction?
I think it's going to be a high-scoring one. I think I'm going to say 74-68. Us.
I'm going to agree with you about everything you said, except for the score. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be 72-69. Last minute three for the win.
Last minute three?
You're last second three. Bowl. Last second three for the win.
You're calling a walk-off here.
Wait, so
walk
you off. Disagree with me, said it's going to be a shootout, and then you're put less points up than me.
Well, it's still a shootout if you score, like, both teams score 70 points.
You said I'm going to disagree with you to score. It would be a shootout. Oh,
I'm not going to put, like, 85-83. It's just stupid.
It's just, yeah. No, I agree with Matt. I just think it's funny how you worded it. You're like,
yeah.
I disagree with you except for the points. It's going to be a shootout, but it'll be less points than it is. But it'll still be more of a shootout.
It'll be a lot of points scored in that game.
Makes total sense, Luke.
Luke's over there not making any sense.
Luke never really makes any sense.
Now, their other game is against Fairleigh Dickinson, and that's a game that Robert Morris should win. That's the game that Robert Morris
need to win.
Yeah, they need to. They
need to win.
No, just like they haven't beaten one of the top teams of the conference, they also haven't lost to any of the bottom teams of the conference.
Yeah, they're kind of right in the middle there.
So they've done the thing, you know, where you see a lot of these, you know, schools where they can't beat. You know, comes to mind like Pitt football, where they can seemingly beat the top teams, but they can't beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
Robert Morris at least is beating the teams that they're supposed to beat. And that's got to be a positive outlook on this year. Wouldn't you agree, Matt?
I would say, yeah, you got to beat those teams.
And so what is your prediction on, you know, the Fairleigh Dickinson game? Who do you think is going to win? And what is your final score?
You know, I was really surprised. They were voted to be about 2 or 3 in the NEC at the beginning of the year. So to see them being 8th is really weird.
Everything changed.
There's no way we should lose that game.
Yeah, I agree with Dickinson. You.
You think it'll be a blowout?
I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. We might only win by 4 points, but – there's no way that we should lose this game.
No, if you lose this game, I think any hopes of a conference championship is off the table.
Yeah.
So overall, I think we all say 2-0 this weekend.
Yeah.
2-0 this weekend.
Yeah.
The optimist in me says 2-0.
The optimist in all of us says 2-0, but you know the statistician I think in all of us too says 2-0.
Could easily be 1-1.
Could very easily be 1-1. I agree easily. With you that. I mean, the Mount St. Mary's game.
That's kind of scary.
It's scary. They haven't beaten those teams, but. No, we like to. Just jumping out there, but thank you all for joining us. You know, it's been a great, great episode. We got to give our season grade so far. I'm going a little bit higher than the rest of them. Matt, a little bit of a negative Nelly over there with his B-.
Debbie Downer.
I said B, not minus. Easy.
And we got to talk to Justin Jennings. If you want to listen to read Matt's article, it's on robertmorriscenturymedia.com. If you want to read about Justin's interview, that will be up later this week. Also on robertmorriscenturymedia.com. This has been The Tool Shed on RMU Radio. Your campus, your voice. I'm Logan Carney. On behalf of Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost, thank you for joining us tonight.
Jerry West play basketball at its very best. Basketball has always been my thing. I like Magic Bird and Bernard King. And number 33, my man Kareem, is the center of my stalling team.